From Jack Hopkins Now, the two words they use to make you stop asking. The Jack Hopkins Now Newsletter, #878, Thursday, April 23, 2026. They didn't invent it. They weaponized it. Understand that distinction and you understand how power has been managing your curiosity for the last 60 years. The phrase is conspiracy theory. Two words, three syllables. And it has done more to neutralize inconvenient questions than any law, any court ruling, any press release ever written. Because once the label sticks to you, you're no longer a citizen asking. You're a crank, a kook, a guy in a basement with a bulletin board and red yarn. That's the magic of it. That's the work it does. The title, Countering Criticism of the Warren Report, the filing number, 1035-960. The memo's purpose stated in the document itself was to provide CIA assets with material to counter and discredit the claims of the conspiracy theorists. By 1967, 46% of the American public didn't believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Almost half the country had questions, legitimate, documented, persistent questions, and the agency's response wasn't to answer them. It was to arm friendly journalists with talking points designed to make the questioners look unhinged. The dispatch went to media contacts at CBS, ABC, NBC, and the New York Times. It stayed classified until 1996, 29 years. That's not conspiracy, that's history. You can read the document yourself. The Mary Farrell Foundation has it. First, it collapses the distinction between reasonable inquiry and paranoid delusion. Why did flight records place a sitting president on a private island 7 times? And the moon is made of cheese get filed in the same mental folder. Second, it shifts the social cost. Asking the question becomes an embarrassing act. Not answering it. Third, and this is the one that matters most, it makes journalists afraid of the beat. No reporter wants to be called a conspiracy theorist. So the question stops being asked. The story dies. The trail goes cold. You don't need to punish the investigator. You just need to shame him into silence. That's the entire trick. Donald Trump first called the Russia investigation a witch hunt 10 days before he was even inaugurated, before the probe had released a single finding. Before there was anything to refute, the rhetorical frame was locked in first, the justifications backfilled later. That's not defense. That's preemption. Philip Bump tracked it in the Washington Post. Every rationalization for why the Russia investigation was illegitimate emerged after Trump had already declared it so. The conclusion came first. The evidence such as it was got drafted into service later. Then came hoax. Then weaponization. Then coup. By 2025, the vocabulary had matured into a full operating system. Epstein files surface. Pivot to an Obama coup. Signal group chat leaks classified war plans to a journalist. Call it a witch hunt. A federal indictment drops. Scream political persecution before the ink is dry. Each word does what conspiracy theory did in 1967. It preemptively discredits the person asking before they can finish the sentence. The pattern always runs the same direction. The label never gets applied to claims that help the powerful. Nobody calls it a conspiracy theory when Tulsi Gabbard alleges a years-long coup by the Obama administration contradicting the findings of Robert Mueller, the Senate Intelligence Committee, and the entire U.S. intelligence community, including Marco Rubio, who now serves as Trump's secretary. Rive of state. Only to claims that threaten them. Nobody in Trump world calls it a conspiracy theory when he insists the 2020 election was stolen despite 60-plus court losses and zero evidence. Those claims get a pass. Those claims get amplified. But ask whether a sitting president's name appears in the Epstein flight logs and suddenly you're the one with the tinfoil hat. The label isn't applied to bad reasoning. It's applied to threatening reasoning. Read that twice. The smear works because most conspiracy theories really are nonsense. Flat Earth. Lizard people. Birds aren't real. The noise is so loud, so constant, so embarrassing that serious people instinctively recoil from anything with that label attached to it. Which is exactly the design. It's camouflage. The ridiculous theories provide cover for dismissing the legitimate ones. And the people in power know it. They count on it. So when they need to kill a real story, they just reach for the same word that gets used to dismiss the lizard people crowd. And your brain does the rest of the work for them. That's not an accident. That's the machinery working the way it was designed. But you can refuse to let the label short-circuit your thinking. When somebody in power calls a question a conspiracy theory, ask yourself three things. Who benefits from the question not being answered? What's the documentary record? Is there an actual refutation on the table or just a label? If the answer is just a label, you're not looking at a conspiracy theory. You're looking at a smear, and smears are thrown by people who can't afford the truth. That's not paranoia. That's pattern recognition. Respectable journalists wouldn't touch it. The label did what bullets couldn't. Then the document came out, and the label started to rot. That's how these things end. Not with a bang. With a FOIA request. With a dogged reporter. With a citizen who refused to stop asking. The question isn't whether today's hoax and witch hunt talk is working right now. It is, obviously. The question is what document 30 years from now explains how it worked and who ordered it. Somebody's writing that document right now. Your job is to make sure it gets read. Conspiracy theory is the flagship. But the fleet is bigger than that. Power has a whole arsenal of dismissive phrases, each one calibrated for a different kind of threat. Learn the shapes and you start to see the pattern in real time. You stop being managed. As I mentioned about, Trump first called the Russia probe a witch hunt 10 days before his inauguration, before a single subpoena, before a single finding. He didn't wait to see what investigators would uncover because he didn't need to. The purpose of the phrase isn't to respond to evidence. It's to preemptively frame the evidence as persecution. Watch the timing. Witch hunt almost always gets deployed before the first shoe drops. That's the diagnostic. If the accused is screaming persecution before the prosecutor has finished typing the indictment, somebody's nervous. Hoax is the upgrade you reach for when witch hunt isn't landing. It implies the underlying facts are fabricated, not just the investigation. Russia didn't interfere. January 6 wasn't an insurrection. The signal leak wasn't real, except Mueller found Russian interference. The House Select Committee documented January 6 with 845 witness testimonies. The Atlantic published screenshots of the signal chat and the White House itself confirmed them. Hoax doesn't refute the evidence. It ignores the evidence and insults you for bringing it up. This is the most cynical one because the original critique that unelected bureaucrats wield enormous power had real merit. Wise and Ross wrote The Invisible Government in 1964. Serious journalism. Serious questions. Then it got hollowed out. Now deep state just means any federal employee whose findings Trump doesn't like. The CIA analyst reporting Russian interference. Deep state. The FBI agent executing a lawful search warrant. Deep state. The career prosecutor indicting based on evidence. Deep state. The phrase went from describing a real structural problem to functioning as a slur against anyone in government who won't bend the knee. This is the newest addition and maybe the most brazen. It reframes law enforcement itself as a legitimate whenever law enforcement touches the powerful. Indict a former president for retaining classified documents after a subpoena. Whether.